and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you that we mourn with those that mourn, and we rejoice that those that rejoice. And we thank you, Lord, this morning for those of our brothers and sisters who over this last period of time have lost loved ones. We thank you that each of the loved ones we know are not lost. Each of the loved ones we know are gone on to be with you, and we just thank you for that right now. We pray that your comforting Holy Spirit would touch everyone here who has lost. And we thank you that with that loss, you would fill them with your presence, with your grace, with your mercy, and with your comfort. So we praise you and give you the glory right now. We thank you, Lord, that your name is great and that you're worthy to be praised, oh God. And so, Lord, in this moment right now, we thank you that you will give us a word today that will strengthen us, equip us, build us up, give us revelation that we haven't understood, that we might press on and move forward in the mighty and incredible name of Jesus. So we thank you that we move ourselves out of the way so that you can speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. And tell them, loss comes, but God is the giver of new life. That's some wisdom. See, when we talk about wisdom, wisdom has many different faces. See, there's the wisdom that we think about in general, about wisdom, about, as we read about wisdom last week, that wisdom brings riches and wisdom brings honor and wisdom brings all these things. But there's another side of wisdom. And turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. There's another side of wisdom. As a matter of fact, there's not just one side of wisdom. There's many sides of wisdom. And sometimes wisdom comes into our life in moments when we don't think wisdom is what we need. Sometimes we think we need other things, but actually in moments of crisis or moments of challenge, wisdom is exactly what we need. When we get into situations where we face grief or we face pain or we face loss or we face the diminishment of our own strength. Whenever we face those things, the first thing that comes to us is an emotion. And emotion is necessary. You have to have a feeling about something. You have to feel things in life. But in the middle of the feeling, you need a wisdom to come. You need a wisdom to come, and in the moment, for the wisdom to come and show you what you need to do in the middle of it. Because just because there's a storm does not mean life stops. One day I woke up one morning, it was raining tremendously. And this rain is coming down, and my instinct is to roll over, go back to sleep. But I couldn't. I had to do something. So I had to get out, and I had to go out into the rain, out into the storm, and I had to do what I had to do. Even though there's a storm of life, and Tammy was kind of singing that song a little bit, when the storms of life are raging, see, everybody's going to have a season where storms come to your life. You're going to have a season where things come at you and you have no control. You can't control the outcome. You can't control what's going on. You can't control the environment. It's out of your hands. It's not in your hands. So when you live in a situation where things are out of your hands, what are you supposed to do? See, in the middle of that is when our faith kicks in. See, we can imitate faith when things are good. But when things get tough, is when our faith really means the most. It's when it has the highest value. It's when other people observe you and don't understand what is going on in your life. What's going on in my life is the fact that
I believe God. I don't understand it. I can't control it. I don't know, even know what to do next. I just know God is with me. See, there's a simple wisdom about that that baffles the human mind. The simple wisdom that God is with me makes other people angry because they want you to do something else or say something else, be something else. No. All I need to know right now is God is with me. If I know that God is with me, then I can proceed. Ephesians chapter 3. Bear with me because I'm just going to do what the Lord tells me to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says this. The Apostle Paul, talking to the Ephesian church, says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To this intent." Turn to your neighbor and say, "To this intent." In other words, there's an intention. God is moving deliberately. It's not accident. It's not chance. It's not maybe. There's an intent. God has an intent. God has a distinct, clear intent. So we went out yesterday, the homeless outreach. And I went, and the Lord told me just be quiet. So we went out, and we were observing. I was observing. And, you know, we're helping out. We're doing things. And we're going out, and we went to this, there was a van, and this man was in his van. And so somebody else was talking to him, and I was just bringing them something to give to them. And then for whatever reason, I ended up then going to pray for him. And so the man's sitting in the back of his van, and I talked to him, and I prayed with him. And when I finished praying with him, I started crying. And so I'm crying, and I'm walking around, like, trying not to let anybody see me. I'm, you know, it's raining a little bit outside. I'm trying to. And then I can't stop crying. It just keeps going. So we complete it, and we get back in the car, and we go on. We do other things. And then we went to another place, and when I got out, went across to where the people were, a guy said, "Mr. Moulton!" And I hug him. We talk, stand there and talk for a while. And I move forward. And the rest of the day, some other things happen. We went to pray for somebody, and some different things happened during the course of the day. So at the end of the day, I think, wow, it's hard to believe the sequence of things have happened today. The Lord says, it's not hard to believe. It's intent. I have an intent for you. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. When you give your life to the Lord, you think you're just drifting through life sometimes, but you're not. God is intentional. He is doing things intentionally. He is moving you intentionally. He's exposing you to people, to things for a purpose. There is always a purpose in what God does. Even when I don't understand the purpose, God still has a purpose. Even when I don't like the purpose, God still has a purpose. No matter what, God is intentional to this intent. Paul said, "I'm the least of everybody. I don't look at myself as being greater than anybody else." These apostles, these other guys, they walked with Jesus. I did not walk with Jesus. I'm not special. There's nothing great about me. I don't know why, but for whatever reason,
God gave me this ministry. See, sometimes God gives you a heart for things, and you don't know why I have the heart, and you feel like, I'm the least. I don't have any power. I don't have anything to offer. But God said, I don't need that. All I need is for you to be willing. What I need for you to be is willing. And when you are willing, then God can do. God can't use unwilling vessels. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. God can't use unwilling vessels. God needs willing vessels that will yield to his intent. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did he accomplish in Christ? He accomplished our redemption. He accomplished the wisdom that he's passing on to us. But he has said, I have accomplished this, and I have the intent that this church, these people who are called by my name, these people who I have grafted into my life, these people who have made one with me, I have done this so that these people might be an example of my wisdom. God wants to make you an example of his wisdom. Tell your neighbor, say, I am an example of God's wisdom. Do you believe that? We are examples of God's wisdom. We are living, walking, breathing examples of God's wisdom in action. It's an eternal purpose that God has, that he wants to reveal his wisdom to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 6. Verse 6 says this: Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro, from walking about on the earth. Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So then Satan says, So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You bless the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now, what I want you to understand is this. Satan, having a conversation with God, makes an accusation against Job. Job doesn't really love God that much. Job's not in it all the way with God. And matter of fact, God, if you take something away from Job, he'll curse you. He'll curse you to your face. As a matter of fact, who wouldn't love you since you've made a hedge around him? Since you've protected his assets. You've protected his family. You've protected everything. See, there are seasons in life where I look around and I realize God has protected everything. There's seasons I look around and I realize, man, I really didn't make all the right moves, but you know what? God has protected everything. But then, look at verse 11. Satan talking again. Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So God said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. See, the battles in your life, the challenges in your life, they're not there because God forsakes us. They're there because God trusts us. See, the Satan's accusation that say, if you don't give Job everything that he wants, he will curse you to your face. God's answer was, go ahead. You just can't touch his body. In other words, I'll let you do certain things to him, but I'm putting a boundary around it. There's certain things that I will allow, certain things I won't allow. See, our lives are the sum of the wisdom that God has put in our life. That wisdom that we hear from God and act from God, our life becomes the total of those things. So the blessings of our life, the things that we have, the things we possess, those things are results of the blessings of God and the wisdom of God on our life to acquire or to grasp or to reach or to achieve or whatever those things may be. Those things are all blessings from the Lord. But if those things one day are gone, will you still love God? Will you still love God if you had a foreclosure? Will you still love God if you stuff got repossessed? Will you still love God if you lose somebody? And I tell you, when I lost someone, I found out whether I love God or not. In my case, I didn't. Later on, I did. Because I came to grow and to learn and to see God more than being a genie. When I came to know God for more, just my ATM, that I could just get what I want from God when I wanted it. When I got to know God deeper, when I really got to the fear of the Lord rather than just the blessing of the Lord. See, many people want God because he blesses them, but how about wanting God because he's the creator? How about wanting God because he's the one who's made everything that we know and understand, and we worship him because of who he is and not because of what he does for us? There comes a season where you have to get to that bottom line where it's not about what I get, it's about what is. That my breath, my life, all belongs to God. Satan came after Job, and Job reflected the wisdom of God. When Job's wife says, we should just curse God and die. Anyway, she said, you should. She didn't say she was. She told him to do it. He said, should we receive blessing from God and not receive these other things as well? We were all into God when he was blessing us. So now we're supposed to turn? That's not how it works. See, God is trying to institute a wisdom to us, but wisdom requires a certain sobriety, a certain clarity that you have to possess in order for wisdom to be meaningful, for wisdom to be understood. And so when we're dealing with challenges and we find ourselves in very difficult challenges, and we have family members, part of our church, that are in difficult seasons, we have to have wisdom in order to help bring them comfort. Sometimes without wisdom, we tried to comfort people without the wisdom of God, and we made things worse for people. If you have faith, don't cry. No, I got faith and I'm crying. You don't cry. You go get an ulcer. You go get something. I'm going to cry. Now, if the Holy Spirit comes and says, no crying for you right now, I need you to do something, then I'll let him dry it up and I'll go do what I got to do. But if he says, cry, I'll cry and have no shame about it. See, we want to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to help bring comfort to people's lives when they're dealing with challenges, when they're dealing with things. Because what you need to understand is God is using you to be a blessing to other people. God needs you to have wisdom because you need to be able to bless other people. So yesterday when we're in the outreach, we're praying for people and we're trying to encourage people and we're helping to meet needs. We're helping to bless. There has to be a wisdom that goes along with that. Because otherwise, you'll be consumed. Because Jesus had to tell his disciples, the poor will be with you always. You're not going to solve poverty. Poverty is part of the curse of the world. As long as the world is here, poverty is going to be in the world. You can't solve poverty. You can address poverty. You can help bring deliverance to people out of poverty. But the system of poverty is part of the world system. And if you're going in believing you're going to solve the whole problem, you're wrong, because the prophetic word has already been spoken over the earth. The poor is here. Now, you can help people be delivered. You can help bring ministry to people. But you have to have the right mindset of wisdom when you go in, or otherwise you become frustrated and overwhelmed by the amount of needs. We ran out of food yesterday. So what do you do with the next person who shows up? When you haven't packed up the car yet and there's more people who still need food, what are you going to do? You have to have wisdom. There has to be a wisdom. There has to be a wisdom from God. Even in stepping out and doing things, you still have to do it in the wisdom of God. You have to do it in a spirit of God. You have to allow the understanding to be here that we're here bringing food to bring you Christ. We're here to bring you food to bring you Christ, that you might receive something that will help you out of where you are. We're coming to pray for you, to give you something, but what we're giving you is not the point. We're offering you something deeper than that. Now, let's go back to, thank you, right there, Holy Spirit. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Wisdom requires us to grow in maturity. Amen? A couple of principles I want to talk to you about. We've been talking about wisdom, and number one, wisdom and knowledge are not the same things. You can have knowledge and not have wisdom. You can possess lots of knowledge and have no wisdom whatsoever. You don't believe me? Walk onto any university campus, and I guarantee you we'll be able to find a whole bunch of people that got a lot of knowledge, but we may not find as many people that have wisdom. Knowledge is a body of information. Wisdom is how it gets used. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Now, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, and then there's also two different sources of wisdom. And let's look at this in James chapter 5. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? I'm sorry, I have a little bit of a ring. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Your works should have a meekness to them. Your works should indicate by their operation that there's some wisdom in you. Next verse. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Next verse. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there is a sensual knowledge. There is a wisdom that is sense-based. The word sensual just means it's based on five senses. Now, you can have sense-based knowledge and wisdom that benefits you. Exercise is an example. It's a good thing to exercise. But the word says, exercise profits us a little, but exercise yourself rather to godliness, which has great reward. There's an exercising of ourselves into sense-based things that when taken too far will lead to things that become demonic in nature. An example, exercise. Good to exercise. Good to exercise. But when your exercise goes to a level that it starts to become a form of worship, we got a problem. There's some people who their workout is their worship. Now, whatever we do in word or deed, we do it as unto the Lord, right? But there's people who are not doing it as unto the Lord. There's people who are doing it and it's become such a routine, and it's become such a deep thing that it is a worship. They made their own body an idol. That, okay, I gotta look just right. I gotta look just perfect. Every time they walk by a mirror and do this, every time, you know. Can't walk by a mirror without just giving, okay, that's right. See, anything that's sense-based has the potential of going too far. Let's go back to verse 14. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. In other words, whatever we do, when it starts becoming self-seeking, when it starts to be about me, that's when we've entered into a bad realm. Wisdom is keeping God at the center. So then when I want to make it about me, I shift it to be about God. When I want to make it about me, I start turning it back around so that it's about God. It's about the kingdom. It's about what God is trying to do. It's what God is operating, what God is moving. When I keep it focused like that, then now I can access the wisdom of God. So I'm walking around yesterday. I'm looking around. And I say, okay. We need a van. We need this. We need that. I'm starting to think about what the needs are. So now I got to then write them down, and then I got to go to God, and I got to say, God, I need this. I'm not asking for me. Not that you can't ever ask God for things about yourself, but what's the major driver in your life? Because you can get all your stuff and be fulfilled. At the men's network yesterday, we had a conversation about wealth and about where wealth was and very wealthy people using their money for different things. And I sat there and I'm listening. And I already said this morning, I said, I need a van. We need a van. And I'm listening to the conversation about wealth. And the Lord said, I'll give you wisdom to get wealth. But you can't make it about you. God wants to give us everything that's needed to go out and be able to save the city of Vallejo. You know what? We'll take every homeless person in Vallejo. If they're homeless, bring them to us and we'll do something with them. We'll help them. We'll bless them. We'll strengthen them. We'll train them. We'll develop them. We'll get them working. We'll do this. God wants us to be able to do that, but we have to be able to first break our own challenges that keep ourselves focused on us. That's spiritual maturity coming forth. That we're starting to see, man, God wants to bless me to make me a blessing. Most people want to get blessed, but not necessarily want to be a blessing. God wants to increase us and build us and develop us and expand us, but that expansion and development has to do less with us and more about who we're called to bless. And it's an attitude shift. It's a total attitude shift because we're coming off of the wisdom of men and coming on to the wisdom of God. In the wisdom of God, God can make provision so that you can do the things that you need to do, so that you can bless the way you need to bless, so that your gifts and talents can be magnified, that they can go to higher levels. But if we're not like Job, and when the accusations against you come, if we're not ready to stand and say, yes, I'm with God, then when enemy comes against you, we will fail. I know a man of God who was blessed with a vision. He started out in the vision and he got attacked. It didn't look like an attack when it first came. It actually looked like prosperity when it first came. We were talking to someone very close to him one day, and they said, we had $500,000 sitting in the bank. And we hit a certain level, and everything just disintegrated. This was a nonprofit organization. Because what happened is the attack came, and the leader started allowing people to put him in a position where it was about him. When self-seeking enters, is where something starts going wrong. Now, that sounds kind of sad, right? Somber and sad, right? Y'all can talk to me. Yeah, it sounds sad. It sounds like you have to be careful, right? No, you don't have to be. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. See, you have to be able to discern that there's spiritual knowledge and there's natural knowledge. You have to be able to discern the fact that Christ was made unto us wisdom. The Christ, our salvation, we're given wisdom by God. And if we ask wisdom of God, God will give it to us liberally, not take it back. God wants to give us wisdom. God's desire is to give us wisdom. And Paul told the Colossian church this. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, we read about wisdom. Wisdom has honor and riches. Wisdom has all these things that it can bring to us. The only thing that we have to be wise about is making sure we stay focused on him. God wants to bless. God wants to pour out. God wants to do for us. But in the middle of all that, we still have to remain focused on God. He told the children of Israel, he said, listen, I'm going to bless you. And when you go into the land where I bless you and you look around, and you say, wow, look at all this stuff we got. Don't say in your heart, look at all the things I did. You need to remember that it is God who gave you the power to get wealth so that he can establish his kingdom in the earth. In other words, God has an intention. God wants to bless his people, not just for his people to be blessed. He wants to bless his people to make something happen in the world. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. God wants to increase you and to expand you. But it requires vision past ours. Vision past ours. Vision past me. So the question is not just what will God do for me, but what can God do through me? What can God do through my life? What can God do with my life? What can God accomplish through me? Who can God touch? Who can God bless through my life? Who can I bring life to? Who can I bring strength to? Who can I encourage? Who can I build up? I guarantee you, when you start thinking that way, the spirit of heaviness lifts. The spirit of sadness lifts. Because most of the turmoil and challenges in our life have to do with self-seeking. They have to do with us. Somebody did something to me. Somebody said something about me. Somebody did this on me. What's wrong with me? Why I'm not here? Why I'm not there? How come they got that? I don't have this. How come they doing this? How come I'm not doing that? When is my ministry going to take off? When is my life going to take off? When is this going to happen for me? It's all about you. Guess what? Evil and self-seeking. When it's all about us, you're never going to accomplish anything for others. You'll never fulfill your purpose when you're focused on you. Purpose is never about me. God has an intent. He wants to show his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers of darkness in the heavenly places. Guess what? The devil, who wants to make an accusation against you, God wants to use you to reveal to the devil he's nothing. But most church people are running from the devil. We're trying to get away from the devil. We don't, oh, the devil's after. Forget the devil. Who cares about the devil? I'm here to show the devil God's wisdom. I'm here to reveal to the devil God's wisdom. I'm here to show God's wisdom to the generation of people who do not see it. They can't see it because they've been persuaded that evil reigns. But evil doesn't reign. God reigns. Evil is not in charge. God is in charge. And if the church rises, if the church begins to get off of itself, you know what the people said outside? The people who are homeless. This is what they said to us. They said, wow, if other churches would bring the church out here. That's what they said. I'm looking at this guy I know, and I'm thinking to myself, he said, I'm going to come by and see you. I'm looking at him and thinking, if he came in the door, what would happen? If he came in the door, what would happen? We are a church of love. We love folks. Folks come in the door, we love on them. But what if one day he gets to the curb and he looks at himself and wonders? Not that we do anything wrong. But does he have the perception that if he came in the door after sleeping outside for the last 2 months, would he be okay walking in? Does he feel like a church would greet him? Not that we wouldn't, but does he feel that? Does he sense that? And the truth is, no matter what church he went, in America, some people would embrace him, some people would reject him. It's just reality. But reality is meant for the church to break, because that's human reality, not God's reality. See, we're here to break reality. We're here to break what the world says. We're here to shatter what the expectations of the world are. That's what we're here to do. We're here to really bring the kingdom of God into this environment and make sure that when we do it, we don't do it only focused on us. Wisdom will help us do it. Go to Philippians chapter... No, I didn't read Colossians yet, did I? I'm finished it all. Okay, go to Colossians 1, verse 10. Verse 9 talked about us being filled with his wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. God wants to make you a partaker of the inheritance. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I'm not really talking about money. The wealth of the wicked has been laid up for the righteous. In other words, the wealth that wicked people amass, they can't do anything with. It's laid up for the righteous. It's laid up for those who can do something with it because they have the mind of Christ. They have the wisdom of God to do things with it. God desires for us to be able to handle and manage what he wants to put in our hands, but we gotta mature in the things of God. So Paul told the Colossians church, my prayer for you is that you be increased in the knowledge of God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Once we fear the Lord and we're really in the position to fear and operate with God, then the next phase is in the God give us wisdom and spiritual understanding. That we get a spiritual wisdom, a wisdom that comes from God, that Christ that's been made unto us wisdom. We have this wisdom that we're able to then use to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Now, during the song that Sapphire sang, you saw Frank playing a guitar solo, right? So the ability or the skill to play the guitar is a natural gift intersecting with a skill that's developed. You develop a skill. You practice and you become better at a skill. So there's a sense-based knowledge that is there. Now, what happens beyond that is then the application of that sense-based knowledge with a spiritual wisdom, which is take my gift to God and worship. So you take a natural gift that you possess, you take human wisdom that is around that's accessible, and you take that and you drop that into the worship and the wisdom of God, and what do you get? You get a spirit of worship that comes up. But it works for musicians, and it works for engineers. Then an engineer can develop a skill, a gift to know how to solve problems with engineering, and then say, now I'm going to take this gift and I'm going to pour it into the Lord and let God allow me to solve supernaturally problems that other engineers look at and can't solve because they don't have the God wisdom to go on top of it. It works for an educator who's been trained on learning principles and understand how the mind works, and you know all these things, but there's another dimension that goes spiritually, that when you can take a spiritual gift and take the wisdom of God and put it into it, you can educate the people who everybody else says cannot be educated. Who can't learn. This child cannot learn. Yes, they can. We just need the wisdom of God applied to them. See, that's what God's trying to do. God's trying to reveal the sons of God to the world so that the world who says all these things that cannot be accomplished, God says, watch while I reveal my sons and daughters of God. Watch when I reveal my sons and daughters of God, the answers that are coming, the solutions that are coming, the things that are getting changed because the church is being revealed. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. See, the accuser of the brethren tells you you're not qualified. He comes in and tells you you're not qualified. You're not qualified because of this. You're not qualified because of that. You're not qualified because of this. Well, you know how you get when trouble comes your way. You're not qualified. You know how you get angry you get at people. You're not qualified. Oh, you know all the pressures you got in your life. You're not qualified. Oh, man, you know you had this happen when you was young. You know you did this. You know you did that. Oh, what about all these things that people know about you? If everybody find out where you really came from, don't nobody want to hear a word from you. No, if we've heard all that stuff. It's all accusations. It's all the things that say you're not qualified. But you are qualified. God made you qualified in Christ. He made you qualified in Him. He made you qualified. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You're qualified. And the wisdom of God is what qualifies you. Go to Philippians 4 and 8. Now, wisdom is acquired by a couple of things, and we're going to close with this. Wisdom is brought about by, number one, faith. If any man lack God, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids it not, but let that person ask in faith. So first thing is, God's willing, we got to be ready to ask in faith, okay? Ask in faith. The second thing is you need focus. Once God speaks, you got to focus on what God says, because the accuser is going to come to get you focused on what he wants you to be focused on. Yeah, I'll say it like this. Over the last several months, we had a variety of different things going on. And one thing particular came at me very hard, harshly. And my immediate response was to try to fix it, was to focus on this one particular thing and give my energy to fixing it. The problem was that one thing was going to absorb time from things that I have to do. That one thing started rolling and growing and started getting bigger and started getting more intense. And then all of a sudden you realize, I've been fooling around with this madness. This is an accusation. This is not God's direction. I'm worried about arguing with the devil over who I am when God already said who I am. I have to live out what I am. And then my mother's words. I came home from school when I was a kid one time. I said, Mom, they said this about me. She said, outlive the lie. She said, if it's not true, outlive it. Why are you trying to explain it? If it's not true, then just outlive it. I outlive that, and I'll outlive the next one. Because what I am is what I am. And if I'm in him, then that's what I am. I'm what he's given me. I'm what he's developed in me. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, say not bad report, but good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. When the enemy starts bringing, you want to walk in wisdom, or you want the wisdom of God to be revealed, stop meditating on the things that are the opposite of this word. Stop meditating on the things. Stop meditating on the failures. Stop meditating on the ugliness of what's going on. Stop meditating on the issues or the problems. Stop letting those things consume your mind. Keep your mind focused on the just, the good report, the pure, the lovely, the virtuous. Keep your mind on those things. Look at the verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul said, do what I'm telling you to do. Keep your mind focused on those things. When you keep your mind focused on that, then the peace and the God of peace will be with you. I'm telling you now, if mind, life is in turmoil, get your mind off the issues and get your mind on God. Because I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. To meditate. What does it mean to meditate? Meditate means to grab something and hold it in your focus. To to hold it in your focus and keep your mind right there, to ponder something over and over, to keep that in front of you. When you keep those things in front of you, it's the beginning of your wisdom starting to excel. I guarantee you, when we keep God in front of us, there will be a supernatural wisdom that God will bring into your environment. Amen? Amen. I won't do this last scripture, but I'll quote it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 talks about keeping our focus, not turning to the left or to the right, but let the book of the law not depart from us. Now, he was talking about Moses and the Old Testament law, but there's a New Testament law. The New Testament law, Jesus came and said this. This is how they're going to know you, because you have love one for another. Keep your mind focused on the love of God and walking in love. And God will supernaturally start giving us wisdom. I realized why I started crying yesterday at the outreach. Because up until that moment, I was fully in agreement with what we were doing. But when I prayed for that man, I got out of agreement and I got into love. My agreement was up here, but the love hit the heart. Changes everything. Changes everything. See, when I was in agreement, I was saying, yeah, we need to do something. Yeah, we'll set aside some budget money for that. We'll make sure you have enough. When it hits here, then it's ownership. Ownership. Responsibility. I love my kids, and so I try to take care of my kids because I have ownership. And so I own you, girl. So I try to take care. Other people's kids, I do my best for. My kids, I die for. So it's a matter of being all in to certain things. When we love God and we put God first, it makes us get all in to whatever God calls us to do. Amen? That's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Let's pray.